Please would you turn back in your Bible to that first reading, Proverbs chapter 31, which if you've got this one, is on page 750. You'll need it open in front of you this morning as we're going to be looking at a lot of the things that we've just read from Proverbs. Let's pray. Let's ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, please give us ears to hear what you have said to us in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hear that it was a controversial ending to the Bachelor TV series during the week. In the end, the ex-rugby player, Nick Cummins, didn't choose any of the girls. He ended the show still a bachelor. And so social media went mad. In an interview, he was asked to describe his ideal woman. And he could only answer, well, it wouldn't be one of the ones on the show for sure. So it seems Nick realised that there must be more to relationships than good looks and flirting. Still, you have to feel a little bit sorry for the girls that he took for a ride. Now today, we finish our series on the book of Proverbs, the series has been called Wisdom More Precious Than Rubies. And in the passage that we've just read, there's something else which is also more precious than rubies. Did you notice that? What is it? Verse 10. A wife of noble character. It's a very interesting end to the book of Proverbs, because this book is mostly the work of a man, King Solomon. This chapter gives us a woman's perspective. Look back at chapter 31, verse 1, where it explains that these are the sayings of a guy called King Lemuel, but he was taught these by his mother, and now he's passing them on to his son. It's important to just remember that context as we go through this passage, because sometimes this chapter can kind of be taken in unhelpful directions. Sometimes we start with the assumption that, this is a set of instructions to wives. And the result can be that this ends up being a bit of a template for slightly obsessive homemaking. No, actually, what is this? This is wise advice that originally came from a woman, but it's advice for young men who are looking for a wife. And the wisdom is in the choosing, first and foremost. And don't worry, women, there will be lots of lessons for you today as well. But if we want to learn the right lessons from this chapter, we need to put ourselves in the shoes of King Lemuel's son and listen to this and then apply it to our own situation. Another thing to be aware of is that in the original language, this is an acrostic poem. What that means is that verse 10 starts with the letter A, and verse 11 starts with the letter B, and it goes all the way through the alphabet. If you like, this is an A to Z of the ideal wife. And being an A to Z, it is an ideal. This is probably something that no one person is likely to match up to all of these things. So what I'd like to do this morning is three things. First of all, I'd like us to notice from the passage what this woman is like. And then I'd like us to think about the lessons for different people in different life situations. What does this mean for you if you're looking for a wife? What does this mean for you if you're married? What does this mean for you if you're likely to stay single? And then finally, I want to ask a really important question. I want to ask that question, what if I fall short of being a Proverbs 31 woman? So what is this woman like? Well, let me point out five things about her. Firstly, she is strong. In verse 10, it calls her a wife of noble character. Generally, our Bible translations are fantastic. In this case, I reckon a wife of noble character is just a little bit soft. Literally, the word which is in verse 10 is a valiant woman, a strong woman. It's a word, there's a word there that when it gets used in the Bible to describe men, is used to describe officers in the army. In verse 17, it's clear that she is physically strong. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She's got muscles. Verse 25, she's also mentally strong. She can laugh at the days to come. She's not falling apart, worrying about what might happen. Okay, second thing we notice is that she is industrious. Industrious. What does that mean? It means she's got a mind for business. Verse 13 says she's got skills in weaving, which she's using to produce an income. In verse 16, she's doing a bit of property investment on the side. She's buying land. She's planting a vineyard. Thirdly, she looks to the needs of others. She's not a selfish woman. Verse 12, she's good to her husband. Verse 15, she's looking after her family and all the employees in the family household. Verse 20, she's looking after poor people. Another theme in this chapter is that she is honourable. So she's looking to the needs of others. She's honourable. That means she's a woman worthy of respect. She doesn't dress in a potato sack. In verse 22, she wears fine linen. But it's not only her appearance that's honourable, it's also her character. Again, verse 25, it says she's clothed with strength and dignity. This is how she carries herself through life. And so, you get to verse 28, you see that her kids and her husband praise her. If we were going to sum up her approach to life in one word, we could say that she is wise. She speaks wisdom, verse 26, and she fears the Lord, verse 30. And remember, that's where this whole book started. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. She's the example of the fear of the Lord playing out in everyday life. And so Lemuel, this chapter, Lemuel's mum says, "My son, if you can find a girl anything like this, then you are onto a very good thing. She's a keeper. She's a treasure." Okay. So what's the lesson for us? Well, first of all, let me point out that this is a challenge to some of the world's ideas about women. This is a challenge to chauvinism. Chauvinism. What's chauvinism? Chauvinism is when men think of women as only existing to meet men's needs. When men think of women as only good for sex and babies and hot meals. Now this woman, no way, this woman is valued in her own right and is praised as being wise. She's certainly not barefoot in the kitchen. She's in and out of the house. She's playing an active role in society. And there's very few men who would admit to being chauvinists, but there's many men who live as chauvinists. And this passage is a challenge to those kind of attitudes. However, this passage also challenges aspects of feminism. There's a strain of feminism in our society which says that a woman's value is found in her ability to do the same things that men do. And, you know, that comes out in the idea that, well, if we really valued women, we'd have equal numbers of men and women in boardrooms and in parliament and in the army. But notice verse 23. It says, "Her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land." And the elders of the land were almost always men. This woman doesn't feel the need to push in on her husband and become an elder of the land herself. She's actually quite comfortable in her own role, and she's respected by the elders. See, the Bible's teaching is that men and women can have equal honour, equal value, while at the same time taking on different roles. Our society wants to say our worth is in what we do. But the Bible teaches that our worth lies in the fact that God has created both men and women in His image, equal in honour and value, equally able to come to Him and find eternal life in Jesus, and also created with differences. I've said this example before, but I'll say it again. In my family, it's Susie who has given birth to all three of our children. And I promise you that that's not just because I'm sexist and lazy. It's actually that God has designed her to be able to do that, and God has designed me to not be able to do that. And we work together in raising the children, but we have different strengths and slightly different parts to play. Now, the Proverbs 31 woman is quite happy about that situation, as is her husband. Okay, so there's a general lesson, how this challenges the world's ideas about womanhood. But can we be more specific? What are the specific take-home lessons for us? Let's start with the easiest and most obvious people to apply this chapter to. Men seeking a wife. Men, surely Proverbs 31 is a reminder to you to think about your criteria. Think about what you're looking for in a woman. Too often, men value women on looks, mainly looks, but also taste in music and hobbies and a whole lot of other things. But verse 30 reminds us, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. God willing, if you're looking for a wife, you're going to be married for a long time. You're going to be married for long enough for her to get wrinkles and stretch marks. And if God is gracious, you'll be married long enough for her to get hearing aids and a walking frame. So look for someone who is wise and God-fearing, someone you can respect, someone you can listen to, someone with a generous heart. Don't be unrealistic. Don't expect the full A to Z. But if you go in with the right criteria, looking for a wise woman, then you'll do a lot better in the long run than if you just swipe through Tinder. Okay, women, what if we flip this? What's the take-home message for women seeking a husband? Well, here's a question. Would this man you're thinking about help you to be this kind of woman? Let me read you a quote from a guy called Jeff Nedders. He says, "A Proverbs 31 man trusts his wife. He's not suspicious of her, not cynical towards her ideas. The wise man supports, encourages, and refuses to micromanage her. There's a difference between gospel-formed leadership and flesh-favoring control. The Proverbs 31 woman goes out and buys a field without her husband on her hip. I imagine this lovely couple talked before they both headed out to tackle the day. Honey, I think I'm going to check out some fields today. I might even buy one. What do you think? I imagine he replied, go get it, babe. I trust you. That's a guy to say yes to. Okay, what about those of you who are already married? You made your choice, but here's something to take home. Can you look for opportunities to praise each other? That's one of the themes in this chapter. Look at verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. If you take time, if you make the effort to praise and appreciate your wife with your words, or your husband in reverse, if you take time to do that instead of constantly criticizing them for all their faults, that will actually do such good for your marriage. Because praise energizes you to serve and to love, whereas criticism actually just weighs you down. So praise each other directly, and also praise her when she's not there. See, there's a really unhelpful thing. There's a really unhelpful thing that happens in Aussie culture, where the blokes get together and ends up being this big circle of complaining about how naggy their wives are. And the women get together and complain about how useless their husbands are. But look at the end of verse 31. That last little phrase. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And so, blokes, when you're hanging out with your mates, make sure she gets the credit that she deserves. Okay, what about those here who are most likely to stay single? In the Old Testament, singleness wasn't an option that you'd choose, but now that Jesus has come, we have this urgent task of taking the news of the resurrection to all the world. And being single is actually a great opportunity to focus on that. Do you remember in the book of Acts in the New Testament, there was this lady called Dorcas, who, by the description, I think she was single, and she was always doing good and helping the poor. She resembles the Proverbs 31 woman in a whole lot of ways. She was strong, she was industrious, she was focused on others, she was honourable, you can see from the way people responded to her death, and she was wise in the work of the gospel. And so here's a take-home message. And single people, this is not so much something for you, this is something about you. People like you still need to be honoured and praised and encouraged in the church. That praise is not going to come from husband and kids, so actually it's us Christian friends that need to be ready to give the encouragement and the praise that energizes you to keep on going in the service of the gospel of Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay, last thing. Here is an important question. What if I'm not the Proverbs 31 woman? Well, clearly I'm not. But I'm not the Proverbs 31 man completely either. See, I know that sometimes women read this chapter and actually just end up feeling intimidated and inadequate and overwhelmed. And in a sense, that's the point. In a sense, that question, a wife of noble character, who can find? Well, if we're talking about 100%, nobody. This is an ideal woman. We all fall short of her in some way. So why is this here in the book of Proverbs? As we've been reading Proverbs, there's always the danger that we can just read it as rules for life and we don't take in the big picture of the Bible. If we take a step back and we think about God's big story, then we remember that marriage is good, but it's not ultimate. Marriage is for life here and now, but it's not forever. And we read that New Testament reading from Ephesians where it says here, marriage here on earth is important, but it's a shadow. It's an illustration of a greater relationship in eternity. The story of the Bible is the story of Jesus being like the perfect loving husband. And it's the story of his people, the church, being prepared together as a spiritual bride for Christ. And on the last day when Jesus returns, it will be like a great wedding feast where the lover and the beloved are finally brought together. That day hasn't come yet, but Jesus has chosen his bride. We are waiting and preparing for the wedding. Here's the amazing thing. Who did God choose to call into his church to be the bride for his son? He didn't choose the most eligible people, the most eligible bachelor, the most eligible bachelorette by the world standards. Have a look at this verse from 1 Corinthians. It says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. So what's Jesus doing right now? Jesus is in the business of taking weak people and making them strong. He's taking lazy people and making them industrious. He's taking selfish people and giving them a focus on the needs of others. He's taking people who nobody respects and giving them honor. He's taking fools and making them truly wise. He's taking you just as you are, and he's preparing you together with all God's people as his beloved bride. That's good news. When we remember how we fall short of this, this is good news. This is something to remember. This is what Jesus is doing today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, that you would choose us, weak as we are, unproductive as we are, foolish as we are. Father, we pray that you will continue to work in us, continue to change us, continue to build us up, make us wise, make us fruitful for Jesus and his kingdom. Father, we pray this in his name. Amen.